Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. There are between 800,000 and 1.2 million moose in North America, but scientists are concerned that that number is shrinking, and fast. Moose populations from New Hampshire to Minnesota have been plummeting for years, as much as 25% each year in some places. Although there are plenty of theories, nobody is quite sure why. Jim Robbins is a freelance writer and regular contributor to the New York Times. He wrote about the moose die-off for the Times Environment section. Jim, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Let's start with the numbers. How dramatic is moose decline, and how concerned are biologists and wildlife officials?
Well, they're very concerned. One of the reasons they're concerned is because the decline is taking place in places where they don't know a lot about what's going on. Moose are hard to study. But even with that aspect, moose seem to be declining fairly rapidly. So they're trying to take a harder look at it. The biggest decline, the most severe decline, has been in Minnesota. There's two populations of moose there. One used to have 4,000. They're down to fewer than 100. The other population had 8,000. They're now down to 3,000 and dropping at about 25% a year. So they've kind of rushed to try and find out what's going on in Minnesota. In New Hampshire, central New Hampshire is getting hit hardest. I'm not sure they have a total number, but again, because moose are poorly studied. And then in Montana, there has been a severe decline in western Montana. I think half or so of the number of moose permits got filled last year as opposed to previous years, while in eastern Montana, they seem to be coming up. So it's kind of patchy, but in places where they're getting hit hard.
Why are moose so difficult to study?
Well, they're solitary animals. They live alone. They don't travel in a herd like deer. They have a lot of fat, which helps them get through the wintertime. And when they die in a remote place, that fat breaks down quickly. And within 24 hours, most of a moose can disappear, and they can't do an autopsy or a necropsy on the animal to find out what the cause was. So what they're doing in Minnesota is feeding these animals a transmitter that they swallow, and it keeps track of their heartbeat. And then if the animal's heart stops beating, the transmitter sends an email to a researcher, and within 15 minutes of the animal dying, and they can get there within hours, even if it's a remote location, by knowing that this animal's heart has just stopped beating. So they're trying to get there as soon as they can and get to the bottom of this.
Jim, what are some of the theories on the decline in moose population? And let us know if it's different in different regions.
The theories are a little different in different regions. Again, and it's also a complex number of factors. In Montana, winter ticks are part of the problem. Those are ticks that get on, and they are a problem also in Minnesota. They get on the animal in the wintertime, and they feed on the animal, and they become such a nuisance that the animals scratch their hair off trying to get rid of them, and they can scratch so much hair off, they become what they call ghost moose, kind of a spectral appearance of this very white animal without any hair, and they get hypothermic and they die in the wintertime because of this loss of hair. In some places, winter has gotten warmer, and so moose in the wintertime are all set for a cold winter, lots of fat, and it's above 23 degrees, I think, and they start to get heat stress because it's too warm for them. They got too big a winter coat on, and they just get hot. In British Columbia, which I've also written about, the problem there is ticks. But it also seems to be pine bark beetles, which killed large tracts of forest, I mean unbelievably large tracts of forest, exposed the moose to predators like wolves and people, and so moose have declined greatly there. In New Hampshire, it seems to be a combination of heat stress and winter ticks. And in Minnesota, along with these other factors, it may also be brainworms and liver flukes, two parasites that affect the animal. And they live part of their year in snails. And with more moist weather in these kinds of places, the snails are doing better. And so there's more parasites like this. And so you can see it's this web of problems, and it's very difficult to tease out exactly what the causes are, and in some cases, it's all of the causes. And of course, on top of all this is climate change.
Well, it sounds like that. There's a through line of climate change in all of these cases.
all of these cases, climate change does or could play a role, and maybe in ways, too, that they haven't looked. The other thing that I've covered in the last few years is climate change is killing off mule deer. It's killing off white-tailed deer. It's killed off bristlecone pines, which are the oldest tree in the world. It's killing off whitebark pines, important grizzly bear food in Yellowstone and across the West. So I think what we're seeing is climate change beginning to take a severe toll on a lot of the wild creatures in the wild forests out there that we know. And the other part of all this is that we've reduced the resilience of the natural world by fragmenting forests and by destroying moose habitat and so on. That when you do get this climate change and these other factors, there's no resilience, that the systems can't recover on their own because they're weakened by how we've managed or not managed those systems. So it's a serious problem.
Jim Robbins is with us. He wrote about the moose die-off for the New York Times environment section. Well, Jim, we know a sudden drop-off in any animal population can have an effect on the ecosystem at large. And any peripheral effects already obvious by the decline in moose?
Well, I wouldn't say that there's a lot of peripheral effects, at least not that I've heard from talking to people. But moose are something that are known as ecosystem engineers. And what a moose does is it kind of creates habitat for other animals. It comes in and it eats willows and creates different levels of willow height so that certain nesting birds will go in there and nest. And it has some role to play in the world like that. And so that hasn't been well studied. But again, anytime you remove a native animal from its range, you're going to see changes and effects on other species like that.
How are scientists approaching the die-off? What's their research telling them?
Well, so far, it's just really getting underway in the last 2 or 3 years. And it's the kind of thing, it's hard to study. These moose are solitary. But so far, everyone that I've talked to said climate change is definitely a factor. And what they're trying to find out now is how much of a factor it is. Then, of course, you turn to what you might do about it, and I think that's unknown, maybe protection at some point. I wondered if endangered species designation might be in the offing for Minnesota as a state endangered species. I don't know. That's something that people have to consider because, you know, the animal is doing well in some areas. It's just that in other areas, it's being severely impacted.
Jim Robbins is a freelance writer and frequent contributor to the New York Times. He wrote the article called Moose Die-Off Alarms Scientists for the New York Times Environment Section. Jim, thanks for your time today.
You're welcome.
You'll find a link to his article and more of his writing at wordofmouthradio.org. Moose hunting here in New Hampshire ended just last weekend. Despite the unsettling numbers we just heard about the population, the number of moose tagged this year remained exactly the same as last year. The New Hampshire Fish and Game Department issued a total of 281 permits and later reported a 64% success rate. Hunters reported a slow start to the 9-day season, but credit a cold snap with bagging close to 180 moose, the majority in the White Mountains. State biologists say that those numbers do not provide enough information to determine the overall health of the moose population here in New Hampshire. They're hoping to get more information on the moose herd from deer hunters who've been roaming the deep woods since September. Coming up from the northern woods to the distant seas, jellyfish blooms are bigger and more frequent than ever before. Some scientists and mariners fear the spiking population is clogging up the ocean and wiping out important ecosystems. It's the invasion of the jellyfish when Word of Mouth returns after a break.